May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is from the Romans reading today. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. St. Paul is describing a profound spiritual awareness that he has and which he knows his readers also share. In his heart, he knows he is what he can only describe as a child of God. Those of us who are parents know just how far we will go for our children. We've brought them into existence. We've provided for their needs. We've directed and disciplined them. We do our utmost best to prepare a secure future for them. And we do all those things because we are bound to them by the deepest of connections, which we know as love. There is no sacrifice too great for our child. St. Paul is saying to his Roman audience, that's where I know in my heart I stand with God. I'm his child. And he speaks with certainty that they share that feeling. So how was this kind of spiritual awareness formed? What made St. Paul and the Roman Christians so unshakably certain that they were children of God? They ascribed it to a force of God himself. This force of God had been at work in creation since the beginning of time. It had hovered over the waters before God created night and day, and the earth and the seas. It had been in the first breath with which Adam filled his lungs. It had overtaken the prophets of old, when they were heard to speak words that clearly were not their own, but seemed to come directly from God. In recent days, it had taken on a new and special vibrancy dating back to the first Pentecost that the disciples shared after Jesus' death, when the earth had shaken and a mighty wind was heard. This force could only be described as the Spirit of God. It was like having God all around you and intimately present with you. Amongst the things it did for you was give you this profound assurance that you were a child of God himself. That's what St. Paul meant when he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit of God was not an abstraction for St. Paul. He knew it. He'd experienced it. He'd seen it at work in the lives of others. St. Paul could not have talked about God without speaking of the Spirit of God. It was God's abiding presence in his life. But St. Paul had also had a unique, once-in-a-lifetime encounter with God, which had seared itself in his memory. It was a face-to-face experience of God, and it had transformed him. He had grown up zealous for his Jewish faith. Driven by his zeal, he'd moved from his home in Tarsus to Jerusalem to study with Gamaliel, the leading Pharisee of the day. He developed what was called a murderous zeal against fellow Jews who'd become followers of Jesus. He was determined to purge them out of Judaism. He'd even been complicit in the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, who'd been stoned by fellow Jews. Paul's face-to-face experience of God happened when he was traveling to Damascus with authorization to round up Jews who had become believers in Jesus. His mission was to bring them to Jerusalem for trial and possible execution. But as he traveled, suddenly he was surrounded by a light so bright that he was blinded. And he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He knew immediately it was Jesus' voice. He later claimed that his encounter with Jesus was as real as knowing Jesus before his death. In that blinding light, Paul was convinced of something more. He had not just met Jesus of Nazareth. The Jesus he had met was God himself. Paul, more than anyone else, is credited with solidifying the distinctively Christian faith that Jesus of Nazareth is not just the Jewish Messiah, but he's God. Paul, in his letters, nearly always refers to him as Christ. And by that he means the anointed Son of God. So while we've seen that Paul could not have talked about God without speaking of God, the Spirit who was always with him, his Damascus Road experience meant that he could not have talked about God without speaking of the God he had met, Jesus, the Son of God. Today is Trinity Sunday. St. Paul had no idea of the doctrine of the Trinity. He died 150 years before the Latin theologian Tertullian would be the first to use the word Trinitas. It would be another 150 years and many theological struggles later before the Western Church would adopt an amended version of the Nicene Creed and faith in one God and three persons would be fixed as Christian orthodoxy. So, Paul did not know the doctrine of the Trinity, but he knew its reality. It was how he experienced God. From his childhood, he was convinced of the Creator God, who had made the world and all that is in it. He knew him to be a God of mercy, who over and over again had forgiven those who had broken their side of an eternal covenant. On the road to Damascus, he had met Jesus of Nazareth, and in such a manner that he knew him to be divine, the Son of God. From him he had received his own free gift of mercy, and it had transformed his life. And lastly, Paul knew the Holy Spirit, not as an abstract force or influence, but as a personified presence who walked beside him every moment of his life, guiding him, providing the authority with which he spoke, active in the churches he planted, working in others to light the flame of faith. Three hundred years before the Trinity became the creed of the church, a full Trinitarian blessing came from the pen of St. Paul. He was writing to the Corinthians. We use this blessing even to this day. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He was calling down upon the church in Corinth the fullness of God as he knew it. It was his faith, and it is our faith. In the 4th century, as the Roman Empire crumbled, monks living in primitive monasteries in Ireland became the guardians of Christianity in Northern Europe. They were always at risk from powerful Druid kings and later Viking invaders. Included in their particularly Celtic practice of the faith were what they knew as loricas. They would chant them when they gathered for prayers in the morning, or when they went out on the roads, striding from village to village. Sometimes loricas even sounded like marching songs. Loricas were prayers by which the monks drew God very close to themselves. With God so close, they believed they would be protected. No matter what happened to them, whatever ills or dangers the day would bring, God would be with them. They would not be alone. They called the chants loricas because in Latin, lorica is the word for body armor, and in particular, the breastplate. The best known surviving lorica is attributed to St. Patrick himself. And if that's the case, it's 1600 years old. It's said that he wrote it for his monks as they sought protection from the physical and magical powers of the Druids. We often sing it on Trinity Sunday. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. By invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. It's number 268 in our hymn book. And according to the music, it is supposed to be sung in unison with energy. Imagine Patrick and his monks striding through the peat bogs of Ireland on heavily clouded grey mornings, singing in just that way, in unison and with energy. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. But you know, I could just as well sing that to myself, alone in my car, as I drive down my driveway to start my day. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. And you could sing it too in your car. One day this week I read this. Aloneness is only ever an illusion. And that is true for all of us who trust in the presence of God. We are never alone. And think of us, those of us who bind a Trinity to ourselves. We are at least two, and we may be four. Amen.